Amen.
And so we live at the fountain of the Lord. We'll let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Amen. It's good to be with you today in the house of the Lord. Good to be Christian.
Amen.
It's good to have a church family. Amen. That you feel like is a real family to you. Amen. Probably if you're like most of us, you've been in churches in the past, and you know, you can have a church and then you can have a church family.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. So thank the Lord for this little group and for the opportunity today to be in this house and to feast upon His Word. So have a rather lengthy reading this morning, so we probably should go ahead and get into the Scriptures. We'll go ahead and go to Joshua chapter 2. And we'll have to read the whole chapter, and then we'll have to read some of Joshua chapter 6. So you bear with me as I read through this. She'll have it up there on the screen, but I'm going to read it, try to read it from my Bible here. Maybe it'll work okay. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how that the Lord did dry up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom he utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou hast let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the streets, his blood shall be upon his head, and we shall be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in thine house or in the house, his blood shall be upon our heads, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thy oath which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according to thy words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all the things that befell him. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. This goes to chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, begin reading verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. It came to pass on the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord only. Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and it shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straightway before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought all their kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, and we just want to just take this time now and just give it to you, Lord. Ask God that you would just use this time for your glory, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. We would open our hearts to you now. Ask God that you would have liberty among us, and Lord, just to speak your word and to lead us and guide us. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. You can be seated. So today this is part three of the responsibility to get under the token and stay under the token. And so today we're going to talk about Rahab, and it's a really interesting story. So, you know, we talk about the message, we call it the message, and in reality it's always been the message throughout all ages, but that's what we call it, and that's exactly what it is. It is a message. And so, you know, if I wanted Brother Daniel to know something, I could send someone to him with a message, and that message would relay to him what I wanted him to know. Yeah. And we need to always remember that what we are partaking of is a message. Yeah. It is something that God has sent to us because he wants us to have it. And so it's not just scriptures, it's not just sermons, it's a message, and we should treat it as a message. And so it is a message, and it is, I've said many times, and you've probably heard it many times, that it is the bride's message. I have talked to people, and they don't know that there is a bride, and there's a church, and there's a difference. And when they don't know that, they run things together. I've talked to people that actually have been raised in the message, and they said to me one time, one person in particular said, show me that there is a difference between the bride and the church. And, well, it's real simple. Just go to the parable of the foolish virgins. Right. But they didn't see it. They said, I don't see that. And so it is a bride's message, and it's only for the bride to understand. It's only for her to see it, and it's to her. And the rest of them don't get it. They don't see it. They don't know to look in the places that we look. Because remember, it is hidden simplicity. It's always been hidden simplicity. It's always come in a way that man doesn't think it should come. It always comes the way God wants it to come, and man always calls it foolish. But it's hidden in simplicity, but it's also revealed in the same. And so we know that that it is a message for the bride, and she's the only one that knows how to take that and how to decipher it or so forth. And the rest of them just don't do it. And so this message is a message that says, come out of her, my people. It's a message that says, the bridegroom cometh.
Yeah.
It's a message that says, come up hither. There's all these things that says this to us, but to the rest of the world, they just don't get it. And so, I've said many times, and I've mentioned it, I think I mentioned the other day about Esau and selling out his birthright. And so, you know, a birthright, we know how this works. The inheritance that the father has would come to the one who had the birthright, be the firstborn.
Right.
Well, we know the scripture said Esau. You know, he sold his birthright. Well, later on, he wished he hadn't done it. And the scripture said there was no place found for repentance for him, even though he sold it carefully with tears.
Yeah.
So, but you see, in the scriptures even recorded, said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Even before the children were born and had done anything, that the predestination of God, by the foreknowledge of God, that he could look out and know this, he said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Well, to people who don't have a revelation, that sounds pretty rough. That sounds pretty bad. God could do that. God could hate. Because they want to tell you that God loves everybody. But the scripture said God hated Esau but loved Jacob before they were ever born.
Yeah.
Because he has the foreknowledge, he knew. And here's what Brother Branham said. It wasn't so much that it was he hated them, but the fact that Esau did not have respect to the birthright. Mm-hmm. See? And so this birthright, you know, if you rise up and you come up in the ranks of your family and you're the firstborn, you have right of passage of authority. Everything that your father had before you is to come to you, and you come into full authority yourself, and it comes through the pathway of the birthright. And it is yours because of birth. It belongs to you, not because you did something good, not because you did this or that, but by birth, you are given that right to hold that authority, right? It's to come to you that way. And so, but you find out that Jacob did not have respect to the birthright because he was willing to sell it out for something of much less value.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what it was. So, you know, it's just like I said the other day, you know, Brother Branham talks about when God sends his signs and he sends his wonders and he confirms and he sends his word. And then if they won't hear it, well, to me, he said it's nothing left but judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's right. When God says, I have life for you and this is the way it comes and you reject it, what else can he do? What else can he do with someone when they will not accept life? Because without life, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? So he has a channel, and that channel, it becomes the birthright to that one who it's directed to. Right? So Esau had this, in the natural, he had this birthright that was to come to him, and it was the greatest thing he could have.
That's right.
Right? Because remember, promised land was their Holy Ghost. Right? To them, that was the same as us having a new birth today, an experience of the Holy Ghost indwelling in us. That's the same thing. And that was the best thing that he could have, because God said, you'll have everything you need. It'll be a land flowing with milk and honey. You'll be, and nobody will be able to destroy you as long as you stay here and you keep my commandments. You fall after me, nothing will ever harm you.
Yeah.
Right? What else could you want more than that? But Esau was willing to sell it out for something a lot less of a lot less value rather than holding that in regard to the way he should have. And he did. He sold out his birthright. And so I said all that to say this. When this message that has come to us as our birthright, this is God revealing to us the channel by which we can receive what he has for us. He's our father. He's got an inheritance for us. And it comes through the channel of a birthright to us. Right? And we can be what he said. We can be just simply because of birth and because it belongs to us. But you know what? We can sell that out for something a lot less.
That's right.
We can choose something of a lot less value and neglect that, and what else is left for us? Right? What else would be left for us? If God has called us to be the bride of Jesus Christ today, He's going to reveal that document, as it were, or that birthright channel to you, and then you have to take that and hold it in high regard. Yeah. Right? And I believe the bride will. So this message becomes a birthright to us. And it's how we receive. So God didn't choose everybody to be bride. Right? Some people be servants, some people be there. There's different aspects of His kingdom. But to us who if He has called us to be bride, then that's a different allotment, that's a different position, that's a different status we're given, different privileges we're given, all based upon what He has ordained us to be. Right? So He's not going to reveal. We were talking this morning about some of the precious people that was here in this church back in Pentecost. Genuine, good, godly Pentecostal people. They're not coming up as brides so much, right? Like we, but in their hour, they fit well and they were obedient to what God had committed to them, right? We understand that.
Yeah.
So not everybody's called to be bride, but no matter where you find yourself, whatever your position is in the economy of God, to you He has extended the channel by which you can be what He promised you to be. And that's your birthright. You have to hold that in high regard.
That's right.
And if you hold it in high regard, that means that you put everything else to the side, and that's number one.
Yes.
Right? And rest assured, the devil is there to try and make you put something else ahead of it.
That's right.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things we can say about that, bring that down into the natural, but it makes we understand what we're saying. So we want to talk about this story about Rahab. Why in the world would God save a harlot? I mean, think about that. Back then in the Old Testament, even today, we're talking about the thing that was the original sin, and here's a woman that's her occupation of daily doing the very thing that was the original sin in the first place.
Yep.
And yet, the scriptures show us here that this woman was saved, and not only was she saved, she married a general in the army of Israel, and she birthed a child, and that child was in the lineage that come all the way down to Christ, brought David and so forth.
Right.
And so it's like, how do you wrap your head around that? We've talked about this many times in different ways about these Gentile women in the scriptures, but you have to remember that the law wasn't what God's final plan was. The law of Moses and all the do's and don'ts, that's not what it was all about. That was just a schoolmaster. What God was really bringing us to was grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Life, the ability to cover man's sins, no matter what they were. That's what the final thing was that God was bringing us to. And because that is what it was coming to, He had to, back in the Old Testament, He had to lay down types and shadows that pointed to that. So you had to find back here in the Old Testament that there were people that God dealt with in ways that was just beyond our thinking. But it makes perfect sense that God would do some of the things He did back then when you look at it in the light of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins that the blood of bulls and goats could not do.
Right.
So you go back there, and the only way, that's what Brother Branham said, if you don't see Jesus Christ on every verse, every line, go back and read it because you read it wrong.
Yeah.
See? And so when we look at the life of Rahab, to understand Rahab and what's going on, we have to look at that with Jesus Christ in mind. That makes sense. So why would He go to a harlot? So we're going to talk about that today. And so God had to lay down those types of shadows so it would point to Christ to come.
Right.
Rahab was like the woman at the well. We talk about the woman at the well all the time. We've said it many times, preach sermons on it. It's a complete sermon on a woman at the well.
Yeah.
And you remember the woman at the well, she had five husbands, and the one she was with then at that point was her sixth. She wasn't married to him, and you remember the story, okay? She was a Samaritan. And we see in the scriptures there, Jesus said to His disciples, He said, I must needs go by Samaria, right? And they would go, you know, you would say, well, now, wait a minute. Why would He want to do that? Why would He want to go to Jews who are mixed breed with Gentiles and become Samaritans, half breed? That's what they were, half breeds, right? Jew-Gentile mixture. So now, Here's a people that are commanded to keep your seed line pure, stay in the promised land, don't mingle with other people, right? And you'd say, okay, those that have done that, they have the blessing of God. And then here's this group over here who backslid and disobeyed the commandments and mixed and mingled with Gentiles. And there ain't no way God would go over there. But he did. Right? And so Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria. Well, why would you want to go over there? Why would you go to people like that? And Brother Branham said the reason why that he would go there was because she had representation.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? That means that in heaven, right, in a predestinated plan of God, in heaven, she was a predestinated child of God. Her name was on that book, and there wasn't anything that could change that. I was talking to Aunt Mary this morning. I said, I have come to realize that if God needed to take Mars and make it come down and kiss the earth just to make a way for one predestinated child, that's exactly what he would do.
That's right.
Because predestination is tops. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to me that the world gets offended by things like predestination and serpent seed and proper understanding of Godhead. And it's those very things that sets us so free to know these truths.
Right.
Right? And so they don't like the word predestination. It offends them, but I've never been offended by the concept of predestination. I've always been thrilled with it. Because I don't see that putting me out of the equation. Somehow I see predestination putting me in the equation.
That's right.
And that's the difference, see? And so she was a predestinated child of God in heaven. She had an angel there. She had a position that God had put her down on that book. In eternity. And so because of that, then the move in the word of God that was going on in the land at that hour, that word had to go right straight to that predestinated seed, even if she had been on Pluto.
Yeah.
It had to. See, the predestinated word for the hour has to go to the one who's predestinated. Or else, what would it be for? Right? What kind of program would God be having if he had his predestinated word for the hour and it didn't go for the elect of that hour? So you see, it has to go. So when Jesus is going along and he's got this big ministry and everybody's like, okay, Israel, it's wonderful. And then all of a sudden he says, I got to go over here. What? The reason why he had to go over there is because she was a predestinated seed.
That's right.
Right? Now she was half Jew, half Gentile. She was with her sixth, right? And so I look at that, and I know Laodicea being is a seventh or whatever, but Laodicea is to me mixed breed. They're not hot, they're not cold, they're somewhere in the middle. They're a mixed breed,
yeah.
Right? Has had many church ages before, many rulers before, and so we understand that by typology, that means that Jesus says, I must needs go by Laodicea. Now, I'm saying this because Rahab is his tie. It's the same thing we're talking about. Same parallel. I must needs go by Laodicea. Why? A mixed breed? A bunch of people who's hybridized the gospel? Why would you want to go to that generation? There's one reason.
That's right.
Predestinated people.
Amen.
People who have representation in heaven. And he's going to come to this age just like he was going to come to that woman.
That's right.
And just like he had to go to Rahab in that city. Mm-hmm. See? That's the only reason why he would come to Jericho. And if you really think about it, did God really need to send spies in order for this to work?
No.
I mean, he could just look that way and the city would crumble.
Yeah.
There were other cities. He didn't send these kings that we just read here, Bashan and Og or whatever their name was. You don't see where he sent anybody in there to find and talk to nobody. He just obliterated them.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because there wasn't anybody elect in there.
That's right.
But when it come to Jericho, there was somebody in there that was elect. Not just one, but her whole family was.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, when it come time to come into the land where Jericho was, it was a different program because he had to go to that predestinated one that was there. He couldn't bypass it because she had representation. So he had to send to her a message. And that's why you see this. Without predestination, we're all doomed.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
In this hour especially, because I just showed you, in the midst of Laodicea, Why would he do that? Well, because predestinated people. So he comes and sends a message. So she's like that woman at the well, says half-breed, Laodicea, mixed, you know, six different husbands or whatever. And I don't know why this thing's popping. But she had predestination. She had representation. Rahab was the only reason why he would send those messengers in there.
That's right.
That was the sole purpose of sending them, just to reach her. And you know, God has his hands in everything. Because I'm pretty sure, if you go back there, you can see, I'm pretty sure that Joshua didn't say, now listen, you go there and you turn right here and you go there, and there'll be this certain window, and that's the one. These men just went to carry out their commission. They didn't know. And it just so happened that the place they went into, where else could they go?
Right.
Where could these men go? Could they walk into the mayor of the town and say, hi, we want to spend the night here? There was only one place that they could go to, and it was the harlot's house. Because that would be normal.
Yeah.
It'd be normal for all kinds of men to come into a harlot's house. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
Common. Common people, not what they would call the high dignitaries and all that, but just the common people. It would be normal to see that. And so that's where they went, right? And so they went in there and brought a message to her because she was the predestinated one. And it was the life, it was the plan of God, and the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and that's exactly what happened. So Brother Branham likened the Jericho as a big denomination. I have a quote there. We might read it after all. It's one of those quotes that you can't really do anything but read the whole thing, but it's got segments in it that go different places than what I want to talk about. So we might read it. We'll see. But Brother Branham likened Jericho to the big denominational walls. He said that Jericho was in line for judgment. And he said that Joshua was God's destroying angel. That's right. So God was bringing his people out of Egypt and heading them to the promised land, and they were on their journey, and everything that was getting in the way that was contrary was being destroyed. And the angel that was doing this was Joshua. Joshua was the destroying angel, and so now he's coming, and here lays Jericho before him. And Jericho was right in line for Joshua to come right through there. And he was the destroying angel. And so they were in line for judgment. They were ripe for judgment. They were targeted for judgment, and rightly so. Okay? So here they were. And so he was coming through there, and judgment was going to fall. But before judgment can fall in there, I got to go in and reach in and grab that predestinated one and bring her out. Bring them out, right? God cannot bring judgment upon this earth, upon Laodicea, but what he first brings her, or brings the predestinated out, and then once he brings it out, then Joshua, judgment, can go ahead and go through and bring judgment and the city fall. Yep. And Brother Ram likened that to denominations. He said, they must have believed that in their great denominational walls, that they could withstand the judgment and not fall in judgment. Right? That's what he's telling them. And so they walls were so big that they could run chariot races around it. We see that her house was on the wall because she could let men down the outside of the wall. And so big old huge walls. And so maybe I'll just read some of this now. We'll see where we go. Brother M said, and this is in the token message, 1963. Wow. September 1st, 1963. How about September 1st, 2019?
Right.
Amen. Amen. They must have believed that their own big denomination of Jericho was able to resist the wrath of God. Their own big denomination. And that's what many of them think today. Oh, surely God won't do that. That's what Satan told Eve. Oh, surely God won't. He will, because he said he would, and that's his word. Yes, sir. Except a man be born, these signs shall follow them that are born. And this will all men know that you're my disciples, and so forth. He's just quoting off different scriptures. He says, what happened? Now, they were shut up. No revival is going to happen here. Our denomination won't sponsor such. We'll not have that kind of nonsense among us. I forbid any of you to go to that meeting. Jericho, right in line of the damned. Right in line of the damned. And so he likens, he says, here's this great big denomination, and they won't allow the message to be preached in their walls. Right? Now keep in mind, she's in there. Right? A predestinated one is in there. And yet they will not allow the word to come in, the revival that's happening through the land, the move of God that's going on. They don't want nothing to do it. And so they shut up all the doors and say, you can't come in. No one's allowed in here. We're not having none of that kind of thing in here. Right? Then well, how are you going to get in there then? If they won't let you come in and sponsor you, how are you going to get in there to get that predestinated one out of there? How are you going to do it? So, Brother Branham, it's funny how he says this. He said, but there must have been some tape boys slipped in somewhere for the predestinated seed. They slipped over to her house and played some tapes. Now, you know they didn't have tape machines back then. You know that you understand what he's saying. He's saying here that the denominations of this day will not let me in to preach the gospel. So what can we do? We have tapes that we send out, and we have people that go to people's houses. He talked about Brother and Sister Kidd and how they'd go into places and play tapes. And they would go in and they would reach to the people, reach out to the people playing the message. And so this is what he's referring to there. He said they slipped over in their house and played some tapes. And she made her own house a church to receive the message. And they still got them, you know. The message got to the predestinated seed anyhow. We don't know how it got there, but it got there so that the just will not perish with the unjust. God is seeing to that today. Some way it slips in. They don't know how. Though they won't sponsor, but there is some seed out there that is predestinated. So he's laying it out here that in the denominational churches, in the denominational walls that have fortified themselves against the message, that even though they won't let it in, God's going to get in there somehow.
Right.
It might be people playing tapes. It might be, we don't know. He said, we don't know how, but it's going to get there.
Yep.
Because why? There's a predestinated seed in there. So it has to go. And, you know, some people take that quote and say, well, see, we need to play tapes in our church. But go ahead and take what it said. They played tapes in her home, and her home was the church.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not a specific drill down and say, this is the way you got to do it, because he explained it right there. Some play tapes or so forth. We don't know how, but it's going to get there one way or the other.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. It happened to be that I got it from tapes. Right? But there's some people get it from someone witnessing to them on the job or so forth, whatever it is. But God gets to them because they are predestinated. And Brother Graham says, anybody that knows anything about the Bible knows that that harlot was predestinated. She sure was. The Bible said she perished not with them that believed not. And that's right. But she believed the message of the hour, and God gave her his sign by his messengers, said, take that scarlet red streak and tie it to your, and said, remember, if you don't tie that streak there and leave it there, what we've escaped by, then we're not responsible for the oath. And said, if you're not out from underneath it, if you're out from underneath it, we're not responsible. I said, oh my, Rahab, every predestinated seed here, you get out there and go and hunt them. Get your daddy, your mother, for we've just come underneath that atonement. Now, he's telling us, you go out and get everyone that's predestined. Go to your mom, to your dad, go to everybody you can, get them under the token, okay? But he's referring back to Joshua, what would be said here if it was in the days of Joshua. And he said, just coming out of Egypt, we just came out from underneath it, came through that. And let me read it so I can clarify it. Everything that we, let me find it. Get your daddy, your mother. He said, for we've just come underneath that atonement down in Egypt. And everything that we didn't have under that token perished. So Rahab, I'm giving you a sign, and it's a token. And I say in the name of the Lord, and it's in the name, it's the same. If you'll put that, I'm acquainted with that messenger. I'm acquainted with the death angel's wrath, Joshua, God's destroying messenger. I'm acquainted with him, and he knows that there has to be a token sign. And you hang that out there, and I'll assure you, you'll take the oath. So he says God took the oath too. So what I want to point out there, so he's saying here that Joshua is saying, we're coming in through here, and we just come through this situation where there had to be a token, and that established the precedence of atonement from going forward. Going forward, we know that there had to be something on display in order for us to be saved. And we know that's the pattern going forward. So we know we've got to give you something to get underneath. We have to give you a token because that's the pattern that was set in order. And it's the same today. Mm-hmm. For atonement to take place, there has to be that sacrifice. And you have to be underneath the atonement of that token. Everybody follow me? So he's telling that when they come into Rahab, they knew they had to give to her some sort of token because he just had went through that and that was established.
Right.
So they had to have this token to be there. And so they in order for him to come through there before judgment was struck, he had to reach her by messengers and they had to deliver to her a token for her to be saved during the day of judgment. That's the pattern, right? The token was the shed blood, and in this case, it was that scarlet thread hanging out the window. Amen?
Yeah, right.
That was the token that was going to save her and everyone she could get underneath that token.
Yeah.
They had so these men gave that to her, and she had a responsibility now to get underneath that and stay underneath that and get as many people as she could underneath that. And we know that only the predestinated could get under there. That's right.
Yep.
Brother Ram tells us the token was for the family, and we saw that in Egypt, and now we see it here again here.
Uh-huh.
That in this hour, when judgment's about to fall, it gets all the way down, and it's a token message, and it's for the family.
Yep.
Not for a bunch of strangers and all that kind of stuff so much, but for the family. Now that's there for us to have hope in the Word of God.
Yeah.
That in this hour, when it looks like your family and your loved ones going every which way, you've got one thing that you can rely on, and that's that token.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that you can rely on. If you want to see your loved one saved, you better get them in. Right, this right here.
Yeah.
Underneath the sign that was delivered to us by a messenger like it was back then.
Right.
Moses delivered to them a token.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua sent these men in, and they brought a token. And that's the only place, that token is the only place of safety you can be in, is underneath that token, and judgment's about to fall.
Yeah.
Amen. And it's going on right now. So he said Jericho was in line for judgment. I said that a while ago. And so, but she had to come out. Right? He had to get her out of there and her family out of there. Now I didn't put it on the scriptures because I read so much of so long scriptures at the beginning. And by the way, we're blessed because we read the scriptures.
Right.
Amen. But I'll refer to it, and you can go back and listen to it on this if you want to, or you can look at it if you're fast enough. But I want to show you. See, these things are types of what's going on at the end time. And as I said, Laodicea, this world today, is in line for judgment. And judgment is coming.
Yeah.
But God had to come to this generation and to come with a message to speak to a people who we know to be the bride, to get her and draw her out so that judgment does not strike her. Right? And so we know that in this hour that this began to happen, God sent an angel. And we see it typed when this angel speaking to John and shows John all these things. And after this, I saw this, and then this, and one thing after another. And that angel is in Scripture there, we're talking about in Revelations there with John. We know that John types the bride, and that angel was William Branham in this day speaking to us and showing us these things. And if you know how that he preached these different things and how it all unfolded, you see this, okay? But Brother Brown tells us that, you know, throughout the ages, for every age, there was a seal. And there would be a war that would take place and a religious disturbance, and there would be a message come forth. And so just in a minor form, like what we're talking about, a message would come forth, and the elect of the age would go to that message, and he'd take them away and seal them away in Christ. And then he'd drop a judgment upon the rejectors, a temporary judgment, for that, and then the next stage would happen, another message come forth, he'd grab the elect, put them away in Christ, and put out a temporary judgment on those rejectors, and that would happen seven times. And with each one of those, there was a seal, a trumpet, and a vial, and the vial was a judgment, right? Seven times, seven ages. So when you get down to the seventh age, Laodicea, a message, a judgment, right, a trumpet. And so when you get into the book of Revelation, chapter 16 is where it's talking about the pouring out of the vials, right? And at the end of that, Revelation chapter 16, when he's talking about the seventh vial, like I said, I didn't have her pull it up, Revelation chapter 16, verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out the vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. I want to pause just for a moment. I didn't know she could bring that up that fast. That's good. Brother Graham talked about an earthquake that's going to shake the entire earth. An earthquake such as never. You think it's talking about the same one? Think about it. What age are we in? Last, the seventh, and this is the last plague, and an earthquake going to shake the whole earth, not such as was men upon the earth. So greater than the Alaskan earthquake, right? Greater than the earthquakes that was back in the days of Uzziah and all the different things, right? Greatest earthquake, right? Okay. So, great earthquake, so great, and the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations, and he's talking about the cities of the nations, said it will shake every building off their foundation. I forget how he worded it, but you're familiar with this, okay? So here he's talking about it right there. But look, so now, here's what I want to get to here. You got seven ages, seal, trumpet, vial, and you come down to the last one, seal, trumpet, and vial, and in God pouring out wrath, temporary wrath on this seventh age, he's pouring out the wrath, and it's the last age, and he's judging this generation that has rejected this message that came in this hour, right? And he's pouring that out, and he's in the mode of judgment, and oh, by the way, it comes to remembrance. Oh, there's a great harlot that I need to judge also. And I kind of thought, it's like, you know, you do something wrong, or maybe your brother does something wrong, and then one day you do something wrong, and your dad now, he's going to wailing on you and correcting you for what you did. And he's like, oh, by the way, come here, the other brother, come here, I will get you too, while I'm at it.
Yeah.
And that's it. He says, he's pouring out these vials, this judgment. And oh, by the way, there's a harlot system I got to go get and bring judgment upon her too.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Revelation chapter 16. Oh, Babylon the Great came into remembrance to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, right?
Yeah.
This harlot system. Revelation 16. Revelation 17. John, let me show you this harlot. And she's like this, and she's got daughters and so forth, and all the kings, they do this. Didn't say anything about the judgment there. Didn't show judgment. Just said, this is who she is. Revelation 17. So 16, oh, by the way, I got to bring judgment. And since I'm here to show you, John, the type of the bride, I got to tell you about these things. So now I got to show you who this harlot system is. So 16, it comes to remembrance. 17, let me show you who the harlot is, John. Verse, and then chapter 18, come out of her. So here's who she is that's about to be judged. But inside her is some elect. So chapter 18, come out of her, my people, that you don't receive to judgment. Yeah. Right? And then you go to chapter 19. Here's the bride who did come out, who has now arrayed herself in fine linen, clean and white. And as soon as that's over with, here he comes from heaven with wrath and throws the beast and false prophet into the lake of fire. Right? And binds up Satan for a millennium. See the sequence? I got to bring judgment upon this great denominational city harlot. But I've got people in there, so before I can do that, I've got to send a message that says, come out of her, my people. Yeah. Right? Perfect sequence. And that's what he did in Jericho with her. He had to send her a message. Listen, God don't run a crazy program. He knows what he's doing. So in order for him to bring judgment upon this earth, he cannot let it go by without getting to his elect. And the way he gets to his elect is with a message. Just like we quoted the other day, where Brother Brown said God brought him a token, and the way he did it, first he sent a prophet, then he vindicated that prophet with a pillar of fire, and then from that ministry, he gave them the instructions of the token. He sent messengers into Rahab and said, this is what you got to do. And she did it. And he has sent a message today. That Babylon is about to be destroyed, but you've got to get out of Babylon. And so he sent a message into you, and Brother Ben said, we don't know how it got in there, but it got in there somehow. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's predestinated in there, and he's going to get every one of them. And so it's not a physical place, like I said last week. It's not a physical place that you're coming out from necessarily. However, if you were going to a physical Catholic church, I'd tell you to get out of there myself. But you know, it's not that, but it's to get into that place, as I said last week, that place where you live, right, where the Holy Ghost has got you covered in your spirit realm. And so, perfect sequence there. So Jericho was in line for judgment. Joshua was the destroying angel. And by the way, you may remember this, and I don't have it with me, but I can get it and show it to you. Picture of Brother Branham. Where he realized that he had that Joshua ministry. And he promised, you know, how that he would go forward. You find out that God played a whole lot of parts in his ministry. So Joshua is here, and he's the destroying angel. Because surely God will do nothing, but he first reveals the secrets to his prophets, right? Mm-hmm. His prophets declared it. So in order for him to bring judgment, he had to have a prophet. And that prophet has brought forth a message. He had a pillar of fire with him. Photos taken of it. Vindicated it was there. There wasn't double exposures. Nothing like that. So we got a prophet. We know he's a prophet. Know that pillar of fire was there. And hey, God has, through that minister, delivered to us a message to tell us how to come out of her, my people. How to come up hither. How to go out and meet him at the bridegroom coming. Now, I said all that to go back to what I said at the beginning. This is a message. God has told you. Here's how you do it. And the reason why he's telling you is because you have representation. He doesn't send it to someone who's not. Right? Those messengers, there wasn't anything said about them messengers going to anybody else. They went to her and her alone, her house alone. And the only ones that were saved were her and those that were on her heart that she was able to reach.
Right.
That's right. That's the hour where we're at. They can say whatever they want to outside in the world, have whatever programs they want to have in their big coliseum, football stadium, churches, or whatever. It makes no difference. It's a bride who has received a message and those that she can get to come underneath the toga, and that's it. Try it. You say, Brother Tony, how you can say that? I can say that because this says it.
Yeah.
Types and shadows for our example, for our admonition, right?
Yeah.
These things say so. The scripture says she was the only one saved, her and her family. The scripture says that she was given a token by messengers that came in because there was a destroying angel,
yeah.
Right? The scripture said this was how it worked, and it was a token, and that token was a message that told them how to get ready. Right?
Yeah.
It's not coming any other way.
Right.
It's coming that way. And so, God sent that token message, and she received it, she believed it, and she acted upon it. There was the only way that God could do it was to send her that token message. And you remember, in the Passover, it was a rejected lamb, innocent. The life of an innocent one that's been slain to take the place of those, because that was a type of Jesus Christ. No fault in him, but he was slain for us. And that lamb that didn't deserve to die, that lamb that was without spot or blemish, had to die. And so, it was a rejected life that had to be on display. And that is what was the token. Remember, Brother Branham said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus didn't come in a flesh body like he did 2,000 years ago. He didn't come in that body and walk up and down the streets of our cities in this day. Chicago and all the different places. That he didn't do that and then grab him and put him on a cross and crucify him again. They didn't do that. But Jesus Christ is the Word. And when a vindicated prophet stepped on the scene and the Word of the Lord was with him, and they know it was.
Yeah.
They know it was. When they rejected that ministry, when they rejected the word of the Lord through a vindicated pillar of fire prophet, they were crucifying Jesus Christ, the Word. So when they slay that, when they ridicule it, when they badmouth it, listen, this is how that Jericho was shut up. They were shut up because they knew that was a vindicated ministry, and they knew that it would destroy them if they didn't join it, and they knew they couldn't join it because they weren't predestinated to, see? And so they had to do nothing but resist it. And Brother Raymond likened it that way. The denominational system walls were shut up. You ain't having nothing like that around here. See? And so they were shut up. They knew. And these people, these ministries, they know. I read the quote where Brother Raymond talked about the Presbyterians, Episcopalians. They all know that this God confirms his word in this day underneath this ministry. They knew it. Shame! It's a shame that the name William Branham and the message is not something that every household in America knows. But it's because back there in that day, when those Methodists and those Baptists and all those people saw that and got away from it and said, we don't want nothing to do with it, because they rejected that word in that day, now all those that are underneath their influence haven't heard, haven't been told, and the judgment of the whole thing passes on to them, and they're responsible because they haven't told that which is right. And Jesus said in his day, if I hadn't done any works, done works that nobody else had done, then you wouldn't have nothing to, you know.
Right.
But because I have, because I have opened the blind of the eyes of the blind that was born blind, because I've done these things greater than any other ministry, now you're guilty for rejecting it. And it's the same today. And I've told you, I got a friend named James Cotton. I suppose he still has it, but he brought me this big old thick book one time. And you probably could find it, buy it, get it on Amazon or somewhere like that. And it's called The Encyclopedia of Charismatic Movements of the 19th Century. That's what it's called. And big old thick book. And anybody that had any kind of ministry at all was in there in that book. And it tells about who they are and what they did and all that. And Brother Branham is in there several times. And in their own writings, they say that it was going to his meetings that sparked their interest to go forth with a divine healing move, that it was all spearheaded by what God did through that man. Right? Where an angel visited him and said, you're going to take a divine healing gift around the world. You're going to do that. And he did. Right? And then they all got their ministry spin off from that and went out with their carnal impersonations. There was a divine healing movement that was real among those. God didn't have a problem with them having divine healing movement as a spinoff from that. But it's when they rejected the word that came through that very thing that they looked at it and said, I've never seen nothing like it. Well, if he hadn't done things like nobody else had, then they wouldn't be guilty. But because of their own words, they say, man, he had a prophetic ministry, but don't listen to what he said. They're guilty. See what I mean? Shut up the walls. Don't let that in here. So judgment's coming. But God had elect in there. So he had to pull them people out. So he gets in there somehow with the message. He got into a Pentecostal church to me, right? With the message. And so he said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they crucified the word. They crucified these precious things that mean so much to you and I. They counted heresy. They count it heresy to believe in serpent seed, to believe that there's one God who came down and lived in Jesus Christ, right? Is now in us in the form of the Holy Ghost, one God in three offices. They do not like that. I told you about how that I had to deal with the homeschool group because of it. See? Because you've got to believe in Trinity, and if you don't believe in Trinity, they don't even count you as Christian. See? I'm serious. Go read about it. We hold these things precious, and they count it heresy. Yeah. Well, see, well, Paul did the same thing. He said, listen, I'm just trying to serve God the way Scripture said to, and they call it heresy. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm just doing what the Scripture said, and I've got a ministry, and I'm serving God by the way that our fathers believed in and what this was coming to, and they call it counting heresy. And so here it is today. God has vindicated word, and we got a people that believe it, and the world calls it heresy. And want to do to us just what they did to Paul, because it's the same ministry. So when Brother Bram says, I indict this generation, he knew what he was talking about. He was that destroying angel standing there pronouncing judgment upon Jericho. Right? Because they would not cooperate with God's army as they come through. And so judgment came. But he had to reach the elect that was in there. And that was the way it planned, the way it worked out. And so, since they rejected the word for this day, then that's why you hear us talk about the bleeding word. Because it's the blood was the token, right? In that day, it was a physical blood that you could see. In the days of Rahab, it was that scarlet thread, right? But in our day, it's still the red blood, but it's not physical blood, it's the life behind the blood. And the life behind the blood was the life of the word that has been slain and rejected and crucified. And because the word has been crucified and rejected by this generation, and we love it, and we bathe in the life of that word. So we've got that all over us. See? We have the token applied when you embrace what God has done in this day. I heard a minister recently, and he was talking about, I forget the scripture, but it was, if you believe in him or on him who raised Christ from the dead. And he said, it did not say if you believe that he raised Christ from the dead, but if you believe in him who raised Christ from the dead, and he is the word, right? The word that brought Christ out of the grave, which word he was, you understand? And so you've got to not just believe that God exists, and you've got to believe not just believe that Christ was here 2,000 years ago and that God raised him from the dead, but you have to believe the person who's doing all of this, which is the person of the Holy Ghost, the Word incarnate, right? You've got to believe that. Now, what's he doing in your day? Because if you believe him, you'll believe what he's doing in your day.
Yep.
So what's he doing? Giving a token message. That's what he's doing. So what do? You do what Rahab did. You get underneath that token. You display that token. And you do what you can to get all your loved ones underneath that token. Right? If token life, being under that token, does not permit adultery, then you've got to tell your loved ones, the only safe place is to get under here, but you can't be in adultery living here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
You can't compromise. So if there are things underneath the token that bring judgment or the very thing, that's why I tell people, you mean to tell me, because people say, well, God forgave me my sins, so I can do whatever I want. So you mean to tell me that if adultery made you a sinner in the first place and you repented and God forgive you of it, you can go out and be in adultery again? The thing that made you sick in the first place is going to make you sick again.
Right.
The dog returning to his vomit, right? That's what Brother Raymond said. It made you sick again, right? It doesn't make sense. That's not common sense. Common sense tells you that if you break the law and you get in trouble, if you get set free, if you go do it again, you're going to get in trouble again. But somehow they twist it around and make it to where it's okay to go out and do this because I went to the altar one time. I had somebody tell me that one time. Well, I repented a long time ago, smoking cigarette and lusting at girls walking by when he's telling me this. There's something wrong. What this generation has done to the gospel is pathetic. And saints, it's up to you and I to make it real again to this generation.
Amen.
To show them that it's not what they've been, what's been drilled into them. And I'll tell you, the way it's all been drilled in with all the vices of Satan, there's only one way that you're going to get somebody's attention. That's to live the life of the Word and then be predestinated.
That's right.
That's the only thing that's going to get it.
Amen.
That's why we can talk to so many. We can have people come and they don't stay. That's why you can talk to people and it looks like they're going to come to church the next weekend and they don't.
Right.
That's why. Because it's the word that must be lived out and it's predestination that responds and everything else is out because that's the hour we live in.
Amen. Right.
We live in the hour that it's Jericho again. And though we all have had a life like a harlot, we are predestinated for God to bring us out.
Amen.
And he's done it. He has sent you a message that most of the world hasn't heard and don't know about and will not know about.
Yeah.
Right? Then that's your birthright. That's the channel by which you can be what he said you can be. Now, what are we talking about? The scriptures has told us that though we're in this generation and in the midst of this world like this and guilty of harlotry, as it were, spiritually speaking, and maybe physically some have, okay, not maybe not here, but even though that's the case, the scripture said that's who he's predestinated. He's got a people, and though they had that kind of life, he has predestinated them. And so when I can look and say, do you mean to tell me the filthy life that I lived before, that he's forgiven me of it, that he's sent me a message anyway, even though I lived this way? Yeah. So when I can see that, there's my birthright. What's the birthright? The birthright says that this that your daddy wants you to have, you can have it because you're his.
Amen.
Right? And so God has showed you, here it is, you can be that bride. You can be that woman that at one time was a harlot, so to speak, that you can come out and you can marry God's general. And who's God's general? The Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Right? You can marry a general and you can go and God will do great things in your life. Yes. So this word, this message, this channel of telling us that he has come to you with a message. That's your birthright. Grab it. Hold it in high regard. Don't let something else get in the way of lesser value. Hang to that. Get underneath it and get all that you can underneath it. because judgment's coming. Amen. God's showing by type and shadow how he's getting a bride for this age and how he's bringing this. So it's through that. And it becomes our birthright. So it's interesting that her womb, I'm almost done. It's interesting that her womb was sealed up until after this token experience. And she married this general. And then she had a baby. Very interesting. But that, see, that shows me that even though, and you just have to please understand, okay? I am not a boastful person. I hope I'm not, okay? And I'm not bragging. But I never believed denominational systems. I always somehow knew it wasn't right. I told you, I remember as a little kid, you remember the garage sitting out there, and there was that old station wagon there? I remember standing right there by that station wagon, and we little kids standing there, and they were talking about Adam and Eve and the apple. And I remember standing right there by that station wagon as a little bitty kid. I don't know how old it was, but I'm talking little. And I remember saying it was not an apple. I knew it wasn't an apple. Now, I always knew that denomination wasn't right. See? None of those systems, and I went to Baptist, I went to non-denomination, I went to different churches growing up, and even Pentecostal. And none of those, I was raised up Pentecost that tried to drill into us that there was no rapture, and the tongues were the evidence. And none of those things took seed. Because if they have taken seed, I'd be out here preaching tongues evidence right now. But I don't. So see, I see myself in the scriptures, and I see you in there, that even though we went through treacherous times of all kinds of false doctrine, none of those things took seed in our hearts, and therefore we haven't birthed ministries and birthed children and movements to that because our womb was sealed to it.
Right.
But now, after coming into an encounter with the token, a message, and embracing that and applying that into our life, now we're giving birth, right? Giving birth, now we preach. We're bringing forth children to the very thing that we've married,
yep.
Right? So you understand the concept there. So I think it's really interesting that her womb was sealed. But she married this general, and they had a child, and that child was the one that founded Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was the house of God's bread.
That's right.
Where Jesus came. Jesus had to be born there at Bethlehem. Why? Because it was the house of God's bread, and he is the bread of God. So he had to be born there. So Rahab and her husband, God took what we would look and say such a terrible story, such a terrible lifestyle, and he brought her through all that and made something great out of her and produced a wonderful work through her life. I think he can do the same thing for you and I. God can and has and is visiting a people and a bride. And through what he births through us, someday we'll go to Israel. Someday Israel, and Brother Ram said it. Now we don't know how it works, see. But just, and the scriptures talk about it, but just as the Gentiles, the Jews brought it to the Gentiles will take it back to the Jews. That's right. Not going to try and make it happen, but there's something that God births through this bride ministry, somehow that is instrumental in going back and taking that gospel to the Jews. And when they receive whatever that is, that'll become the bread of life to them. It'll be in conjunction with two prophets. We know that. But it'll be the bread of life. And I'm just showing you that as she was what she was, and God brought her to the place that she could be a help, be the founder of her child, her offspring, the founder of the house of God's bread, that Jesus Christ could come through, that God could visit a people no matter how bad they are, and through a token message transform that bride people and produce something through her for the next move of going down the road. We're happy for that, to know that God can do those things. And why is this so? Because the Word says it. Now you go out and you try to talk to people about this. If they're not bride, they can't comprehend this. Right? They cannot comprehend it. First of all, if this book right here, this Bible, if this is not their ultimate, it'll never happen anyhow.
That's right.
You find all kinds of people. I got, you know, Jehovah's Witness, they got a different book. Mormon, they got a different book. Well, why is it they want to hijack Christianity? Christianity was brought into place. This is the code book for it. Now, why they won't come along and say, I want to be part of this, but I'm going to provide a different code book? It's ignorance. It's this word right here. And if they can't say no and push aside everything else of man and say it's going to be this right here, if they won't do that, then there's no chance to even talk to them hardly, because they won't hear it. But if they will say, this is it, this is ultimate, then you can sit down and talk to them, because this message can be shown to be right from the Scriptures, even if they can't receive it because they're not predestinated. That it can be shown. These types of shadows are there, and it's true. And so we thank the Lord for intervening in our lives. Amen. We thank Him for a token message.
Yes.
It has made a difference. Made a difference in my life, I can tell you that for sure. It's made a difference, and how thankful we are for the Lord doing that. Amen. I just want to look over my notes and see if I left anything out. Most important thing of it all is that she put it into action. You have to believe that in this hour where it looks so grim, that if we'll get underneath that token, you can reach your children. You can reach your family. You can. But not if you're not under the token yourself. You've got to be there. And you can't straddle the fence. If you want to know why you're not getting the results with your family, well, are you straddling? Or have you done full obedience to the Word of God? Have you believed everything that has been spoken? Right? And when we get to that spot, then you can have assurance, as we read the other day, assurance, a clean heart, a pure heart, to know, God, I have applied your token, that you said I can have it. Your types and your shadows say my family can be saved. To the jailer, you and your house will be saved. A prophet has brought these things, showed us, vindicated, a message, I'm under it. Now, I want my family. I want my loved ones. But see, that's it. And that's the whole thing for us. Between now and rapture, that's it. I didn't have the quote here. It's probably on my phone. I'd have to find it. But Brother Graham said, just as soon as she got all those predestinated ones, just as soon as she got them under the token, judgment fell. Just as soon. You want to know when it's going to happen? Just as soon as you reach that last one, that's when it happens. Amen. The judgment will strike. But don't fear, because you'll be saved.
Right.
Amen.
Okay.
You will be kept alive, you and all those that you get under the token. Amen. Let's let the musicians go, please. God is good to us. Amen. Maybe we can sing that song, God is good all the time. Let's all stand and just sing for a little bit. We'll worship the Lord and we'll close in prayer. As always, I had an uncle tell me one time, 3 P's, preach, pray, and praise. Preach the word, pray over what you just heard, and then praise God for what he's done for you. Can we do that? Say, God, I've heard it. I heard your word this morning. I'm applying it to my life. I'm asking you to forgive me of my failures. Now I'm going to praise you for what you've done for me.
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's the way you do it. Amen. Go shouting and praising around Jericho and watch it fall.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's sing this to the Lord. Just rejoice.
God is good.
Thank you.
God. You know, the scripture said where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And in my mind, I've probably said this to you before, but in my mind, I think about a person who's going off just away in sin, far away from God. And you may feel like that I've went all the way to the far reaches of the universe. I'm so far from home. You turn around and look in the direction away from where you come from, and their grace is standing there, ready to take you back. You can't go too far if you're an elect of God. If God's dealing with your heart, you can't go so far that he can't speak to you and draw you back. So where grace abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
Let's hold that token in our hearts as we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I want to thank you, God, that you have sent to us a message in this hour that has gripped our hearts. And Lord, we know it's right. We see how Satan fights us on every hand, and the whole entire Satan's Eden is made in such a way to try and steal this away from us. But we want to thank you for it, Lord. We rejoice in it. We want to give praise to you, and we're asking, God, that you just help us to hold on to these things ever so true and not be like Esau and sell out for something of a lesser value. God, this is the greatest value that we could possibly ever have. And Lord, we want to share it with others. And I'm asking God that as we've gone for many miles, many years, many days, as it were, Lord, just desire to speak and reach to people. And God, we want to see fruit of that. We want to see a move of God that begins to reach out into our loved ones. We're asking God that you would anoint this word in our hearts. And God, as we know that it lays within your power in the hour that you say, but God, we're longing for that hour that you would speak and cause us to be able to have that fruitful effect. And Lord, that you'd quickly bring in all those that are still astray. Lord, that when they'd all be in and just at that moment, as they all come in, then your judgment can fall. Lord, I know from a natural standpoint, it seems like a terrible thing to talk about the judgment of this earth, the judgment of people. But Lord, we're not thinking with great matter. We're talking about the revelation that's in our heart. And ask God that somehow you'd anoint that revelation and allow us to flesh it out in such a way that we touch the elect. And God, we've seen by your types and shadows that our loved ones, as a bride of Christ, our loved ones and our friends and families, everybody that we can reach out to, Lord, they're elect also because your type says they came in. And so Lord, we want to adjure you and ask and plead before you, Lord, that you would cause us to move on out into that ministry where we are able and can successfully reach those and bring them underneath this token. You said so in your word, and now, God, we see it, and we're asking, Lord, you begin to move and work and do a divine work and bring those in, God, that's ordained. We ask, God, that you would help us. And our belief in your word, just like Sister Hattie Wright, believing the word that was given in her day. It wasn't the obedience of her children, but it was the faith of that mother that overrode those children, snickering and laughing, that brought them in. God, I pray that the faith of Jesus Christ, faith of this message, would rule in our hearts, and it would override the stray people out there that are going in different directions. It would override that. God, they would come and fall, as it were, before us, Lord Jesus, to repent. As it were, we ask God that you do this in the midst of us. Lord, create a fervency in our heart to believe you and long for these things until it manifests before us. We ask God that you touch every heart, fill them with this kind of desire, and that we just push away the things of the world and stay focused upon you, this token life. We ask you to do this in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit it to you. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's sing something else, brother. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you today.
Holy Spirit.